Holy moly, I've got a very important message from Zane Shaw. He's got a podcast. You're listening to Save Your Bacon with Zane Shaw and Will Palumbo. Don't lose your bacon. Get Zane and Will shaken.
I don't know, Zane. I've done too many of these. I'm just breaking down. I think I need you to start it.
And welcome to the podcast. My name is Zane Shaw.
And I'm Will Palumbo.
Oh, he's going to let me do
it. You got to do it.
Guys, this is a comedic advice podcast. We give the comedic and we give the advice. This is the thing where we think we're helping.
You didn't say what it is. You didn't say the title.
Said the title of the podcast yet? Let's keep it a mystery. Let's keep it a mystery this episode.
I'm sure you, they won't figure it out, I'm sure.
This is Save Your Bacon, a comedic advice podcast where we think we're helping. My name's Will Palumbo, and that's Zane Shaw over there to my direct right. We're in the same room, we're in the same hot tub. If you couldn't tell, this is a thing where we tell you comedic stuff, and it's where you
Do
send
the
us...
bubbles are too loud? I can hardly hear you over the bubbles.
What bubbles?
The hot tub bubbles. What else bubbles?
Oh,
what do you mean, what bubbles?
Part of me was thinking that was a segue into some kombucha tasting, and I was
wait a minute. I have no kombucha today.
How loud are kombucha bubbles? Now, that's a good question for this podcast.
Our first question comes from Big River Boy, and they ask, how loud bubbles kombucha? Good question. Thank you. Thank you, Bubble Boy. Zane, I was hoping you wouldn't say the title of the podcast so that like people would be pleasantly surprised. They would like listen to an entire podcast and be like, oh, I'll just put it on like random podcast mode because I'm sure that exists. And they would be like, well, that was a really cool 50-minute episode from these strange guys with super generic voices that are not annoying and unique. One of them definitely doesn't sound like Kermit the Frog. I wonder what the title of that it's Save Your Bacon. That wow, I'm pleasantly surprised and impressed
to be
by
fair
their workmanship
you
and
gotta,
comedy.
You gotta keep in mind our audience unanimously only listens to the middle stuff, so everybody starts the podcast and they skim right through the first 20-25 minutes. They listen to us thanking them and then they get right off. So
yeah, they listen to the anchor ad and they're like, that must be the end, and then they just go to the next episode.
As far as they know, this podcast is actually called Anchor the Musical because all they listen to is that song that I made for the anchor ad, and that's it.
Anchor the Musical. I think we have a new project for 2021.
Anchor the Musical.
Anchor the musical.
Anchor the bloody musical. It's British.
Yeah. So, guys, welcome once again. This is an advice comedy podcast. We are here to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So let's serve up some questions, why don't we?
Ooh, okay. That's a good one. Let's go right into the questions. I got a good question for you. Here comes a question. This is from Psychcha. And the question is, if a sun-sized human stood next to the Earth, how would it look like to people living on Earth? Just for reference, don't answer nothing, because that human would collapse in on themselves due to gravity.
Collapse in on themselves? I mean, does the sun collapse in on itself? I don't think so. I think we're fine. I think we're ignoring physics.
Uh-huh.
For the question.
Very good.
Right?
Sure, yeah. Well, I gotta. It's a sun-sized human standing next to Earth, so they don't need to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
This is one thing that we've established.
Sun fits a lot of Earths in it. Sun is, like, way bigger than Earth. Mm-hmm. So it would, if the sun was right next to the Earth, not only would we burn and die, but it would just, I think it would just take up everything. And so I'm thinking if this was a person, it'd be like, I think it depends what the Earth is near. So like, I'm imagining like this is like a guy with like wearing a Supreme shirt, if you just happen to be by his like chest region, all you'll see is like the S, you know, of Supreme.
Sup. You just see the entire sky.
You just see sup.
Sup.
The sky is sup, and there is no light also. So nothing, I guess, also. But I wasn't supposed to answer that. So you will just see sup, maybe. It'd probably still be too big.
Yeah.
You probably just see like the curve of the S, maybe.
It'd be a lot. It would, yeah. It depends how far away, because they're saying he stood next to the Earth, not right next to. So, like, he could stand at a distance that you could read sup. What I'm wondering right now is, because you mentioned something about, so obviously, sun right next to Earth, Earth being pretty bad shape because sun very hot. It just says sun-sized human, not sun, like a human form of a sun. So, like,
yeah,
we don't know how hot. Well, if they're wearing a Supreme shirt, then dang, that boy's probably pretty hot. But
he's pretty hot already.
but I want to take into consideration having them be the PA, the personal assistant of Earth. Like, let's say Earth's going through a very rough winter. This sun-sized boy could just pick up Earth and move them a little closer to the sun. They could speed up the winter solstice process.
Yeah, I think it's like a marble, right? I think we'd be like a marble-sized. But also, if he grabbed it, he would kill billions of innocents.
How long could we survive in the pure blackness of his fist grasp?
Yeah, so I think another thing along the lines of the Supreme shirt, if you were happen to be very close to his like Thrasher watch, it would just be like you'd always just have like a gigantic clock in the sky, I think, because you would just be able to see the clock face. Also, I think it would be probably incredibly loud every time his Thrasher watch like ticked to the next second. So I think that your eardrums would bleed and break and you'd lose your hearing immediately.
I just
listening to his watch.
I just read a detail that somebody commented on this question, and they said that the diameter of this sun boy's eyeball would be 1.5 times the diameter of Earth.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking, it's a big boy. It depends how far away they are, too.
So their
right?
eye is bigger than Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know how, like, when you take, like, a fish lens photo and you accidentally put it way too close to your face?
Oh, yeah.
I think it would look a whole lot like that.
Oh, my God. Now I'm also wondering, this person, they could do us some good justice, right? Like, they could block meteors, or they could just be out there in Earth. They could just be out there in space just punching away meteors, catching shooting stars and throwing them past Earth so everybody makes their wishes. But there could be a real big bad consequence known as, if this bad boy sneezes, what does that do to where we go? Where does Earth go?
Well, diameter 1.5 times Earth. Sneeze would be like probably like 2,000 mile an hour wind.
Just 2,000 hours?
2,000 mile an hour wind. Well, I mean, you shoot a sneeze pretty quick, I guess, don't you? Let's hope he's not doesn't have a cold, I guess.
Yeah, but I've heard it's pretty cold in space. I know there are floating balls of fire, but like, does this man in his Supreme shirt? Does he have a Patagonia jacket? Like, is he warmed up to the nines?
He's got a Carhartt hat and a North Face jacket. I think he'll do fine, honestly.
But that being said,
I think
we just have to
disregard too many realities for us to worry about Supreme Shirt Boy having a coat.
Is he
or getting cold? I guess right.
Is he thin enough that we would have to compromise where like every human in the world would have to move to 1/2 of the Earth in order to stay within the sun? Or
that's really interesting.
Or every 12 hours would we go into what would now be called like the new dark, which is just as pure black as it could possibly be.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I thank you to all the Titans out there that are currently swatting away all the meteors and shooting stars, because we really appreciate that. Haven't had an issue in a while, so thank you for that. Zane, I have a question for you.
Oh, go ahead and ask it.
Okay, this comes from Bonjour Bowl Boy, and they send in, Dear Will and Zane, I enjoy how much diversity there is in your podcast.
Yes.
One of you has hair, the other does not have hair. I'm stuck deciding whether to have hair or have no hair because I believe no one is willing to tell me whether my hair is good or not. Mm. How do I tell whether I have good hair? What should I change my hair to, if so? I am male with generic short blonde hair and need adult haircut. Thank you.
Ah, male short hair, need adult haircut, doesn't know how many hair to cut. I see your dilemma. There are many tests that you take it through. I actually wrote a whole book on it. You can find it under my alias, Rob Thomas. That's what I write my books under. If you go,
is there a Rob Thomas book about how to tell whether you have good hair?
There should be. Otherwise, Barnes & Noble's duped me out of like a million copy deal. So you got to go to Barnes & Noble, buy my book, Rob Thomas, and it's called The Hair Test. Now, here's how you tell. Here's how you tell if you got good hair, because you want to know the quality of your hair before you realize whether or not it's bye-bye hair stuff on your head. You gotta run your hand through it. Now, when you pull your hand out, there are a lot of tests alone. Is your hand super greasy? If it is, cut that bad boy. Did it feel like super soft, or were you like, wow, it's almost as if I just ran my hand across the rocky terrain of a desert ground? Then if that's the case, cut that bad boy. If you run your...
Imagine like August crabgrass. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you don't want.
If you run your hand, if you try and start running your hand through your hair and it hits like a frozen wall, like you can't get through your hair because you've put so much product in it, then you're putting too much time and effort into your hair, or at least the wrong amount of time and effort into your hair. Cut that bad boy. Now, ways to know that you shouldn't cut that bad boy. If your hair looks like Timothée Chalamet's, if that's the case, then keep it.
I guess.
If it's anything else, get rid of it. As you can tell.
One of the people I feel really bad for.
Who's?
People got messed up domes.
Mm.
People who just got a messed up dome.
Keep going.
Like they got the dent head.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
Those are the people who are kind of trapped in the hair, no matter what kind of quality of hair they got.
You saying know? They're hiding that dome with a good roof?
See, it's not that I am admitting defeat over having hair by shaving my head. Mm-hmm. It's that I am flexing how good my head is.
Yes. It's a head flex.
Keeping the hair out of the way. It's a head flex. It's not a hair diss, you know? So just keep that in mind. If you got a good dome, show that puppy off. If you got a bad dome, keep that stuff under lock, you know?
That's the thing. Like, you got to think about how some cool football fields, they got roofs. Some of them don't. And you got to also think about the consequences of where you live. Like, Will lives in Minnesota. I want you to keep this in mind. Will, if he kept his hair, he could go through the experience of, and this is a question for the millions of listeners that we have that all understand football lingo.
Yep.
Will, living in Minnesota, like the Minnesota Vikings, they once had that, and I'm pretty sure it was the early 2010s that it happened, where their roofed dome football field from the snow actually caved in on itself. And
I didn't know that. Is that why they got the new dome?
They said
they got the new stadium.
They had security footage record that the snow on the top of the roof had gotten so heavy that the roof gave in and snow started pouring into the stadium. So that being said,
I didn't know that.
Because everybody knows that football analogies relate exactly to hair head analogies. That being said, if Will, living in Minnesota, had kept his hair, at some point there could have been so much dandruff captivating his beautiful shiny dome that it could have started to, much like termites to wood, they could have started slowly disintegrating his hair and given him one of those weird where he has a bald spot that's like the center of his head, and then like he has like the headband version of hair going around his head, and it would have been very confusing. And that's
why do you think I shaved it?
That's solely because you live in Minnesota. Like, if you had moved to anywhere else, like, you could have avoided the Minnesota dilemma, but that's what you got yourself into. So
yeah, well, dandruff only happens in Minnesota too.
Yeah, snow equal dandruff, sun equal bald, clouds equal hair. That's why in Boston, where it is only cloudy, I can keep my luscious locks.
Yeah, you want to know how you can tell that if you have good hair or not? Back on the point.
Yeah.
And out.
Oh, sure. Oh, all right.
Yeah, you know, just kids. kids is the answer. It's the honesty. I think that part of the issue, if we go back to the question, they say, let me see, where is it? Because I believe no one is willing to tell me whether my hair is good or not. I feel that on a spiritual level because I've only gotten told, like, people will always be like, hey, I like your hair today. And that means it's like, you know, 10% better than what it normally is or whatnot. But people are never going to say, man, your hair consistently looks very bad. But kids will. Kids will do that for you. Kids will be like, your hair is rancid, especially teenagers. Get like a early teen, like 13 to 16 year old. They'll have no problem being like, you just go up to them and be like, hey, what do you think of my hair? They're like, I didn't know you ever thought about your hair. I didn't know you've ever put any thought into it or that you minded and at all what anybody thought of your hair because of how bad it is. And then, you know, at least it'll hurt for a little while, but at least it's only a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've been bothered about 100 times by kids being like, why are you bald? Like, well,
and then you get to tell them
because my hair,
you get to tell
like
them your whole
anymore.
10-hour story, your journey that you made, your trek through the woods, your swims across the oceans,
deciding that I need to get more aerodynamic, shed a couple ounces. That's mostly it.
I cut my hair for the weight.
It's for the weight, really. I'm just trying to make it in the next weight class.
My hair was weighing me down. And so many opportunities. I tried to get on the roller coaster. They said, hey, you weigh too much. And I said, what if I cut my hair? They said, it might just do it. And so then and there, in line for the roller coaster, they handed me the Mickey Mouse shaped razor. And I shaved my head. And would you know it, I hit the weight mark just in time. I got to go on the Matterhorn. That's Six Flags, isn't it?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you. It's the Raging Bull at Six Flags. But, man, I miss the Raging Bull. Anyways, if you got a nice dome, cut it off. It's worth it. I mean, not to say that I have like...
Not the dome. Cut the hair off. Cut the hair off. Cut the hair off, not the dome. Don't cut the dome off.
Show the dome, cut the hair.
Yeah, cut the hair. Lose the hair.
Shine the dome.
What's a good little rhyme? Show him the dome.
Show him the dome.
Show him the dome.
Don't be shy.
Get out there on the town. Show him the dome.
Cut your hair and show him the dome.
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy. Show him the dome. Yeah, I think that although there are a lot of bald people twice my age, I also think that we're going to make bald more beautiful in 2021 with people under the age of 50. Maybe. I'll be the trendsetter. I'm okay with it. Anyways,
2021, bald under the sun.
Okay, that was an attempt. So, Zane, do you have a question for me?
Thank you. I do have a question for you. Do you want, which one do you want? You know which one you want. You know which one you want.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This one's, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background on this one. So, imagine that you've been locked in your room for about 2 months, and you've never made your way to your kitchen. And so, once you finally make your way to your kitchen, you see that everything that you haven't taken care of in your kitchen needs taking care of. Such as, like, you look at your fridge and you haven't thrown away your groceries. You look at the floor and there's a bunch of dirt on it. And then you look in the sink and there are a bunch of dishes in there that you haven't done.
Yeah.
So in this POV,
just bear with me. So, like, when you wanted food, since you haven't gone to the kitchen in 2 months, did, like, DoorDash, like, stop by and, like, toss up the bag to your second floor, like, window or what?
Because
I live on the second floor. We made it harder. I did construct. I put like four brooms together and made like a nice little pole hook system that I can kind of like scoop up the fried rice from.
I have a system that I set up when I used to have a tree house where I have this nice little turvis looking bucket and a block of wood.
A pulley system.
And it's a pulley system. So I lower the bucket down and I say, put the food in here. And he says, don't you want to come down and get it? And I said, no, don't ask again or I'm not paying for this.
No, my kitchen's on the way. I can't do that.
And I pull it up and I keep my food. But after about 2 months, I go down to my kitchen because you're like, you know what? I'm spending too much money. I need to make something for my groceries. And so I see all of these dishes in my sink. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to do these at some point.
Yeah.
And so I turn on the water in the sink. And since I haven't turned that on in forever, the water in the pipes is dirty, but
yeah, what comes out, dirty water.
But I have dishes to wash, so I'm wondering this whole time, should I wash the dishes and then rewash them when the water's clean again,
or
should I let the dirty dishes sit in the sink for longer? Because it's been over 2 months and I've had dirty dishes in the sink. Now, here's the caveat. A lot of the time when I'm tired, I will put them on the ground and have my dog lick them clean. So I could just do that for right now until the water is clean again. So the better question is, should I use my dog as a dishwasher until my water is clean again?
I named my dog Dishwasher for this reason.
I say dishwasher, come here.
My pooch dishwasher does such a good job. They say that their mouths are cleaner than ours, which is why I also don't brush my teeth. I just let my dog do the work. But I want to say, hey, guys, welcome to the middle stuff. So glad that you've gotten this far. I feel like I've broken laws by letting that go that long.
Yeah, you still don't even know if I finished asking it or not.
Yeah, I don't. I'm in limbo consistently with this. Zane, give us some middle stuff, why don't you?
Yeah, our entire show runs on you guys because we adore you guys. We actually, you guys are our drug. We desperately need you guys. And it's not toxic. It's just very sexual. So if you want to send us questions,
Questions to keep me going.
We should start naming the episodes off of middle stuff. So it's just the episode title is just called It's Not Toxic, It's Sexual. And just see when people figure out where that title came from.
That's not my favorite title.
That's all.
That's not my favorite title.
We could also call this one Will's second favorite title. That being said, if you want to send us your questions, please send us your questions to, you know, the email, but I'll say it for the deaf one time. Why don't I? SaveYourBaconPodcast@gmail.com. What's that? You didn't hear me quite right, deaf GPSs. That was SaveYourBaconPodcast@gmail.org. I meant com. I messed up, didn't I? But that was on purpose. That's a goofer.
Run it back.
That's a
Run
goofer. All right, fine. I'll do it
one
more.
No, don't do it again. No. Don't do it again. Don't do it again.
All right.
Don't do it for me.
All right. All right. As you can see,
you
I am the sub.
So quickly.
I'm the sub to Will's Dom. That's right. It's still sexual.
Oh,
and
stop.
we are easily found on anchor.fm. That is where our podcast is uploaded. That is where you can sponsor us, where you can send us messages if you have an anchor.fm account. That's where you can find all of our socials, like our Instagram and Twitter, and I think that's it. And then you can also find everywhere that you can listen to us, such as iTunes, Spotify, CastBox, and the like. That being said, that is anchor.fm, save your bacon. I meant to say slash save your bacon, but I feel like most of you did not just type in anchor.fm save your bacon. But just to be super cautious, to be pretty positive that you get it right, it is anchor.fm/, and I should be, I guess, a little bit clearer, /... save your bacon, and you'll find us right as rain sitting there at the top, the holy grail of anchor.fm. And on top of that, unless Will desperately has something he wants to say, you're about to hear the teaser for the new Broadway musical coming in 2021, anchor.fm the musical. Will, do you want a question or what?
My mental health is a disaster. Fill me with serotonin.
That's good. This person's mental health is not there either. This question comes from Not Math. And the question is fire extinguisher foam safe to eat? If I bake...
No. Say no. No, it's not. I think it says all over it that it's toxic. I think you just didn't read the instructions.
Can I say I have about 3 to 4 screenshots of comments that just say no. No, not even remotely. Don't do it. Please don't eat it. Tell me you didn't eat it. No, it's not safe to eat. And then there's one comment that says, why not? It doesn't look that dangerous.
Stop.
So, The context of this question.
Are you talking about the foam that comes out of like a regular fire extinguisher or the stuff that
No,
they,
the
like,
one that comes out of a supreme
of
fire extinguisher. A luxurious fire extinguisher. Yes, the
yeah,
foam that
like
comes
the
out
actual,
of a
regular... No. No, I understand what you're saying, but also like the firefighters, they use the foam.
Yeah, I'm not talking, you know, how like when you'd get those chalk stick candies that were 100% just chalk and you'd be like, oh, is it safe to pretend to smoke these? No, this is real fire extinguisher foam that's used to put out giant house fires, and you're saying, can I put this in my mouth right now?
Well, I mean, your house burned out and you're trying to find a positive spin on things. Maybe I can eat the foam they left behind. That's my thought.
Taste
Maybe that's
the memories.
Where they got it.
I can't look at the photos that I took in the Bahamas. Maybe if I eat the foam right here, right now, I can taste what that photo used to look like. I'm sorry. Let me finish the question. All right. So it says, if I baked something, it caught fire, and I put it out with the extinguisher, would it be safe to eat? And believe it or not, this does not correlate to a real life story. I'm just curious.
Okay. Well, this is another one of those things where Google has such a good answer
it
that we could really beat around the bush for a while.
It doesn't give this person the mental advice they need to avoid eating fire extinguisher foam. Because I promise you, there are times that I've like looked up like, does a flower grow at night? And then the Google will be like, probably not. And I'll be like, well, that wasn't good enough for me. I'm going outside. I'm waiting and watching.
I'll test it myself, idiot. No, I looked it up. Can you eat fire extinguisher foam? The first thing I typed in, because I wanted to use as few words as possible, was fire foam can't eat. And I didn't get the right answer. But I did eventually type in, can you eat fire extinguisher foam? My space bar is broken and I'm trying to save keystrokes. It says, despite being non-toxic, you shouldn't try to eat the powder that comes from a fire extinguisher. They call it powder.
I don't like
that. And that's foam.
So this is a kicker.
Is it powder inside the keg?
This is a real kick in the pants because commercials and TV and movies make it look pretty much identical to shaving cream foam. They make it look like it just
whipped cream.
Yeah, like they make it look like it just whips right up, like it was in an aerosol can, and just like as soon as it comes out of the can, it just goes, and it just foam right up. And that makes it look.
I think that's exactly what it is.
That makes it look like you make like a nice pie. You pull it out of the oven, it's a little crispy. You think I'm gonna put a little fire extinguisher on that, douse it out real nice. That's gonna balance the flavor out real nice. And by balance the flavor out, it's going to balance it out so that some of it's toxic and some of it's not.
Yeah. Do you shave your face, Zane?
Yeah, shave my face.
You do, right? Do you use shaving cream when you do so?
I try to. Otherwise, it hurts a lot.
Do you, like, struggle with the prospect of trying to eat it, thinking that it's pie filling?
Yes, I do.
Yeah?
The amount of times that I have taken shaving cream and put it in my hand and thought, this looks so good. It's every time. Every time I've
maybe
tripped
that's why
face.
They make it smelly real strong, you know?
If
they do a good job making it extra smelly.
I mean, it usually smells like good deodorant, but like if they made it smell like pumpkin pie, I would taste test it and I would be dead right now. So
I do think there's a good chance that I had pica when I was a child, but I never smelled good deodorant and was like, I do want a bite out of that, you know?
That's true.
Continuing on, if you do eat some of the powder, it could cause your throat to become sore and red and may even cause some stomach upset.
Oh, that's it?
But this would require
quite a bit
of powder.
Wait, that's it? So you're telling me
that's
it?
And after
it?
Quite a bit of powder. Okay. So you can totally eat it, is what it's saying.
This is basically
the green light to dine in on your fire extinguisher.
I don't know if Tay Zonday gives any hints to not take our advice literally at the beginning, but just in case, please don't eat fire extinguisher powder. But go ahead. If it says
honestly,
that it's
plenty, if it's, it says you can eat quite a bit.
Yeah. So this is another thing I was going to mention. As it coming out of like a shaving cream can, it whips right up, looks super good. There was a time at Emerson where the fire alarm went off about 3 times within the span of 3 hours. It's still my most viewed video on one of my old channels. It has like 50,000 views. And I said, I commented, why is this my most viewed video? And someone commented back, because there are a lot of fire alarm enthusiasts out there, like myself. We like rating fire alarms, seeing fire alarms, hearing them go off, and talking about fire alarms. And I was like,
you're kidding.
I thought that was a joke, but he's not lying. There's a big following for fire alarms out there. I was figuring out, like, why is it going off so often? One floor down, somebody, for fun, had sprayed the fire extinguisher over the entire hallway. So I was on the 13th Whoa. Floor, and if you went down to the 12th floor, the entire thing was covered in fire extinguisher. But
was that after the fire alarm went off or before?
It's the reason the fire alarm went off, yeah.
Oh, so, were they just drunk?
Yes. So,
man, dorms are wild.
That being said, so wild. When I went down there, I was told that I thought it was going to look like snow, or I thought it was going to be like, I don't know, some soft mush, maybe look like mashed potato stuff. And when I got down there, it looked like when you see like an explosion go off in a cartoon, and then like there's like a bunch of blackness on the wall, and the person moves, and there's like black ash still there and whatnot. It looks like white, light gray ash everywhere. So it really look like
powder,
like a dusty, like desert feel to it.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah,
I've
or it's
never
fainter.
Shot one.
So
I think we should all be required to take some sort of class to. That all that you do is you sit down with a fire extinguisher and you read the label, because I think that's the only way that most people would actually figure out how to use it. Yeah. I definitely like what
you know how there's like
I've never used one.
There's a class that you can take. It's not required, but you can take in high school. That's like, here's how you write a check, and it's supposed to teach you like.
Wait, we had that?
Yeah,
we had that option.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called, but I remember my teacher was awesome. He was a little person, and he was the coolest guy in the world. And he taught me how to write a check, and that's the only thing I remember from that class. He taught me other things. I remember he put on a video at one point, and it had Samuel L. Jackson in it, but he didn't realize it was a meme video.
Oh,
and so at the end, someone is him. It's just him yelling, "English, motherfucker, do you speak it?" to the entire high school class. He was like, "Oh,
cool.
My
cool
bad."
Teacher, honestly. It stressed me out still to write checks. I did look up nutritional facts of fire extinguisher powder.
Good.
Google didn't like that one.
Oh, yeah?
No, Google didn't like that one.
So you're saying it's still up to us
control.
To answer?
I got sent us fire extinguisher certification, poison control, Wikipedia has some stuff to say about it, I guess. But the first thing it also did come up, you can buy a 5-gallon bucket of Americ's Class D dry powder for fire extinguishers. Guess how much 5 gallons of fire extinguisher powder cost?
That's got to be like 200.
200?
Yeah.
You're low.
Oh, I'm disturbed. I'm going to say 500.
$668.59
now
for
that's,
this 5-gallon
pail. Now that's real ironically close to the devil number, and the devil is covered in fire, and they missed that one barely, and that really upsets me.
Yeah, they could have really made a point.
Here's my side question for this question. I've never done this. I'm gonna throw a question back at the asker. Hey, asker, if you buy enough fire extinguisher foam stuff, could you put out hell? Could you buy enough fire extinguisher stuff to make the devil's fires go away?
Zane, I got a question for you.
All right. Sure enough. Oh, before you do, the thing I was going to say about that, like the writing a check class, they need to make a class that's like, here's what happens if you put fire extinguisher into pumpkin pie. And they just show that it blows a hole in the middle of a pumpkin pie because of the pure power of a fire extinguisher. So you're like, oh, now I know when I make a pumpkin pie, I should not use fire extinguisher as topping.
Just really disincentivize it.
Yeah.
I think it should also be a class to show you how to put out hell. Okay, this comes from McJohnny Ribs. Thank you, McJohnny Ribs.
Very
and they
good
ask,
name.
Can you get a glizzy bear to overdose on... sorry. Can you get a grizzly bear to overdose on cocaine? I'll explain later, okay? I don't know if this is legal or valid to ask, but I need to know if it's possible to have a grizzly bear overdose. Bear so big. No way, right? So here's my thought. You're 17, and the family's like, I don't know how we get to David. David just does not get out. He cannot socialize. He sits on phone. He spends time on Reddit, and we hate it. And we're going to go on a hiking. We're going to go on a camping trip. We're going to spend time in a mountain, and we're going to get him in a tent for a couple nights, right? Night one comes. You've spent 2 hours walking. Your thighs are so chafed. Oh. You have to set up camp. You know you've been there.
Oh,
you have to set up the tent now and make your dehydrated beans into rehydrated beans. And
rehydrated
you,
beans, campers.
Yeah, and you're bedding down for the night, and it's getting dark, and you hear what must be a grizzly bear. You are David now. Oh. You wake up and you think, oh no, none of my friends are here. I have that one dude who really wanted to be an Eagle Scout, but he couldn't. But I know who can help save your bacon. Will and Zane can help. So you throw out a question, and you're like, all I have is my cocaine. But if they put out a podcast quick enough answering this question, I'm sure that I can get it answered because they can give me the right answer. Can a bear get overdosed on cocaine? The answer is yes.
Yes. Yes.
No, the answer is you have
no,
enough
the answer
cocaine.
Is yes.
David, I know you dog. You got enough cocaine in there to knock out an elephant, my man. You can do it. You just need to make the cocaine be you flavored.
Yo.
So I think you, yeah. So the bear wants you. It doesn't want the cocaine. It'll smell the cocaine and be like, smells like chemical. No, thanks.
Right.
But if you make the cocaine smell more like you than you, then you're good. You reach into your bag, you grab your Axe Phoenix body spray, and you just start covering the cocaine with that.
Ooh.
And all of a sudden, the bear will be like, I know David. He's going to smell the most Phoenix Axe body spray smelling thing is going to be him.
Mm-hmm.
Bears don't have good eyesight.
Right.
And they're going to go, and it's going to be like, the powder must be David. And you'll be fine. And
that
you will knock it out long enough.
David. It smells.
You'll knock it out long enough to chop off its nose so it can't smell you anymore, and it'll be donezo at that point.
No, it's actually really interesting that you said that, because fun fact, go ahead, everybody, Google it right now. I promise this is actually what's going to pop up. You chop off a bear's nose, all of a sudden they can't attack you anymore.
It cannot find you.
That's their entire, all of their drive to fight and protect and attack and everything and hunt and everything comes from their nose. You chop off the nose, all of a sudden, they're like, hey, where's the nearest business school? I got to do some business. Like, I got to financially take care of my family now. And they'll start just, you know, crunching numbers, writing charts and graphs. They'll start walking upright. That every time you look at them, they'll be wearing their new glasses and they'll wave. Mm-hmm. And then they got their hat on and their briefcase and their kids are wearing bow ties. And you're like, I think I just did that bear right. Not only does he now know don't eat cocaine, but now his whole life's turned around. So not only are you... Wait, first off, did the question say, can you knock out a grizzly bear? Or did it say, can you kill a grizzly bear?
Can you overdose, I think, is the question. Let me check again.
You can.
Can you get a grizzly bear to overdose on cocaine? I'll explain later, okay? Yeah, he's clearly in a hurry. So, David, we got you, man.
So, like...
You got plenty.
It depends.
I'm sure.
It depends on what your motivation is, because can it overdose? Yes. And as we were saying, like, you can knock it out and cut off its nose, turn its life around, or you could knock it out forever. And that's a whole nother story, because if you knock it out forever, that's
Zane, this is a podcast. We can't talk about killing.
I know. I said you fainted it forever. Same. It's a Pokemon you haven't taken to the Pokemon Center yet, okay? It's that easy. So now that it's knocked out forever, you got to understand, if you're not finding a way to wake that bear up, that's on your hands.
Zane, I don't want to kill the bear.
Hey.
Zane.
Hey, my Pokemon.
Zane, I don't want the bear to die.
My Pokemon's tired from battle, and I just haven't made my way to a Pokemon Center yet. That is the exact same situation as right
Zane,
now, Will.
Saying this isn't Pokemon. There's no cocaine in Pokemon.
This is Pokemon.
I don't want the bear to die. I think bears are cool.
I think bears are cool too. That's why we're saying you can overdose it. Don't.
Yeah, a Glizzy Bear loves business school. That's my answer to you.
Glizzy
I hope
business.
That helps.
Mm. I got a real thing that I gotta say, and I'm saying that sentence before I've thought about what it is that I'm gonna say. So now I'm gonna say it.
Feels serious.
If you are Leonardo DiCaprio, please,
whoa, never mind.
Please do not give it too much of your good cocaine. Also, it's going to be real hard for you to figure out, because you're surrounded by snow. It's going to be real hard for you to figure out which snow was cocaine.
Are you making a Revenant reference?
Isn't that a relevant Revenant reference for your consideration? That's how you have to say.
We lost him.
You know how every time that you do a screen test of a movie and you want it to be Oscar worthy, you have to put "for your consideration"? It has to fade in and fade out. So if you want a podcast episode to be Oscar nominated, you have to announce "for your consideration," which I'm very upset that I'm realizing 49 episodes in, and we haven't done for any of the other 48 episodes. But this one, "for your consideration." Hey, Leo, if you're listening, because I know you are, actually, I know you were our first listener, so that was really cool. Although that was, it's kind of a big, big bummer that you didn't share the podcast around more, but that's, you know what, that's fine, we'll get to it. Some snow, some cocaine, make sure that when it bites into what might be snow, you don't feel like on top of the world, because that bear might still be 100% ready to go for a fight, and you might be walking into something you're not ready for. So make sure you give it the right amount of cocaine the right way. Use that Axe body spray that I know you have on you still in the Revenant, because that's in your survival kit. Once bear knocked out, cut off nose, hug bear, keep bear warm for the winter, and then when bear wakes up, he'll thank you, take you home to his family, cook you a nice meal made of chicken. And that's just because that's a universal likability. Bear like chicken, human like chicken. We all, when we have chicken together, world's better place. And that's how 2021 is going to turn everything around, because bear and human going to indulge in Thanksgiving dinner together. It's going to be the new reason we celebrate Thanksgiving.
David, hang in there. It might just be like a chupacabra or something. I'm getting told, did you get that text too? It says the producer wants to me to let you guys know that it's Grizzly Bear.
We gave advice for the wrong bear.
Guys, thank you so much. It's been fantastic having you here. My name is Will Palumbo.
My name is Zane Shaw.
This is Save Your Bacon Advice Comedy Podcast. We will see you next time very shortly for our last episode of the year. Take it easy, guys. And if it's easy, take it twice.